Hello and welcome to What She Said. I'm Kate Wheeler. Christine Bentley is away tonight, but she will be back next weekend. It is Pride Month, and tonight we are starting off by talking to an LGBT entrepreneur who is creating change in her community. Mandy Renahan is the blue-collar CEO and founder of Freshco, not to be confused with the grocery store. She is going to tell us about a major event for LGBT entrepreneurs in Toronto that's coming up and some of the struggles she dealt with along the way. Fashion designer Izzy Camilleri is going to tell us about her very first book. It's an eating plan. She says it's not a diet or a quick fix, but a way for people to reach their weight goals and maintain them quite easily. Many very well-known musicians held a variety of jobs until they were able to rely on their own work in the music industry to pay those bills. Musicologist Eric Alper is going to go through some of those odd jobs, including our favorite gravedigger, Tom Petty. Well, more than 1,000 female teens came together on Tuesday for the annual Girl Talk Empowerment Day. Founder Katie Zeppieri is going to tell us how it all went, who showed up, and what it teaches young girls. Now, if you are heading out on a boat this summer, Lindsay Charles from McLeish Orlando is coming in to give us all a boating safety and insurance refresher to make sure nobody gets hurt or arrested on the water. That would be a bad thing. And of course, we end every show with a live studio session. And tonight we are joined by singer-songwriter Adam Meeshan, who is going to perform his debut single, Boomerang. And we want to remind you about our new contest with our friends at Elevation Pictures. We're going to send you and a guest to the screening of The Big Sick. Bickering parents and a serious health scare threaten the budding relationship between a Pakistani stand-up comic and his American girlfriend. Now, the movie is in select theaters on Friday, June 30th, and it's pretty much everywhere as of Friday, July 14th. But we are giving away double passes to screenings in seven cities, coast to coast to coast. So go to whatshesaidtalk.com, click on contest, and claim your tickets before they are all gone. And don't forget, we are also giving away two copies of True Family Wealth, the book by Chris Clark. Again, go to whatshesaidtalk.com and click on contest. All the information will be there. Now, after the break, helping drive our economy and create change with Mandy Renahan. You're going to love this. This is What She Said. Stay with us. Just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it, so we keep waiting. Well, happy Pride Month from all of us here at What She Said. Tonight, we are focusing on LGBT entrepreneurs who are helping drive our economy and create change. So joining us is Mandy Renahan, the blue-collar CEO and founder of Freshco, not the grocery store. Mandy, like, the name, how are you going to get past that?
You know what? Don't be talking.
You were first, though, right?
I was first. Yeah. Absolutely, I was. And then the tidal wave hit me, and it's called a grocery store named Freshco.
Oh, my God. So how are you getting them? Tell everyone that thinks we're talking groceries what we're actually talking about.
Well, my Freshco that was here first is a
subtle
is a facilities firm comprised of three divisions: maintenance, construction, and projects. And we are what I would call probably one of the number one retail specialists in Canada and the Eastern United States. How the acronym I would use is that we are their nutritionist and their favorite plastic surgeon. So we make them look amazing all the time. They're trending all the time.
We're talking like retail spaces like, yes, Tiffany, Apple, Nike, Lululemon, The Gap. You know, your client list is not shabby.
It's mediocre.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, but so how did you start in this? Because you're a nice girl from Yarmouth.
Did you just call me a nice girl?
I called you a nice girl from Yarmouth.
That.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's Nova Scotia. It's down east. How did you get so big, or as Donald Trump would say, huge? How did it get here?
Well, my back and my arms grew from shovels and cold beer. And
Nova
business
Scotia.
Grew?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I grew up in Yarmouth a long time ago. And as you can see by that little gray swirl, it was
Arctic highlights. Yeah. Arctic highlights.
Okay. No highlights, real. For real. I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, they're real. And so, when I grew up, I was always known for being the athletic girl. I was bigger, stronger. And so, you know, really I wanted to be playing with the guys because really I kind of thought that I would hurt a lot of the girls. And sometimes I did. They got over it.
I think you hurt a lot of the guys, too.
I actually kind of did that, too. And so from a very young age, I just knew I was wired differently on many, many fronts. And so I used my inherited genetic blossoming of sports to lower people in that I wanted to build log cabins in the woods, catch fish to give to the fishermen. So I started businesses when I was very, very young. And so, you know, to give you an idea, my father was a lobster fisherman. And so every day there would be what we called bait bags of, well, really they were more farming bags full of fish that they used to put in the lobster pots. Mm-hmm. And so one night he gave me shit and he said, "What are you doing, you know, leaving the house?" He says, "At 10 o'clock at night." And I said, "Well, I'm going to go dip kayaks." And he said, he goes, "Oh, no, you're not." So anyway, being fearless and knowing that he'd probably kick my butt, the next night I went out again. And that night was the biggest catch we'd ever had. And so literally I had to come back and get him and my brothers or I knew I would lose it all. And he just stared at me. And I thought he'd get mad at me, but he just, still to this day, he gives me that same look like, "Who are you? And did you come for me?" I think you did. Now he brags about it, actually.
Well, I'd say, I mean, you know, you are one of the country's like top business people. And Stats Canada indicates that more than what now 140,000 businesses are LGBT owned with an annual buying power of $90 billion. That is incredibly impressive. I don't think people realize how many owners in that community are impacting us overall.
Well, I think that as a whole, I don't think that, you know, a lot of, you know, people that are gay, transgender, really put a flag on the outside of their building saying, "Hey, I'm gay, I'm this." This is actually, you know, my first time of being able to add my leverage and my experiences to the community on this level in this mentorship program. And, you know, as a whole, I think there's a lot of awareness that people it's the guy or the girl next door that you're like, "Hey, let's go have a beer, let's go have a drink," mm-hmm. that is running truly a gay-owned business or a women-owned business for that matter.
But we need people, and your business is so great at this time because we need people to consider the trades
absolutely.
As their future.
Well, I mean, back in the day, it's like I tell people, I mean, I left home with a dirty hockey bag full of whatever I had.
I don't want to hear about it.
A personality. You're going to have to. You asked me the question. So you leave home with a dirty hockey bag, a personality, some ambition, and then, you know, along the way, you figure out your boyfriend. Holy shit, if that's going to be my life, then I figure, you know, I'm gay. So then you look at it and you go, "Hey, you know, if this is my resume, wow. Like this is going to rock the world." So that's what I left home with at 17 years old. And so, you know, coming from being the basically the fish broker on the street and building log homes in the woods and getting the guys involved and saying, "Listen, if you want me to play on your team, you're going to have to show up." That was all really truly, you know, knowing from like a young age. Obviously, other than sexuality, mm-hmm. being completely different, motivated, and wired on a level that most people aren't.
Now, so now next week, you know, from that dirty hockey bag to being a featured keynote speaker at the Global LGBT Summit of the Americas, a Pan-American Business Summit. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that, you know, what's happened, you know, for me is that I am in a very unconventional industry right now that's getting a lot of press. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I, you know, I'm kind of quiet. I don't know if you noticed, you know, I don't say much.
Genteel,
and so, you know, kind of a, you know, damper personality. And so so basically what's happened is that I've kind of hit the keynote speaking circuit, and it kind of happened from when I won, you know, one of the most powerful women awards, and they put me on a panel, mm-hmm. and I don't even know if they knew what was about to hit them, and I don't really know not how to be this way. I don't know not how to swear and cuss and sometimes just tell it like it is. Mm. You know, there's kind of that fearless part of me, and so, well, it turned the room upside down, and there were lots of lineups and lots of hugs, and so right at that moment, you know, you realize people want real today.
Yeah.
They want somebody who's authentic.
They want to cut to the chase.
They want to cut to it.
Yeah.
They're sick of the shit. Let's just say it.
Yes.
And so basically, everybody from that moment's talking about this blue collar, you know, chubby ass bear from the East Coast that made it big. And so, you know, and they're saying, hey, you know, I want to motivate my staff like that. That's what I want to do. And so they came to me and said, hey, let's go. That you're a gay business owner. Let's do this.
So what is your key message to young people, to the youth?
In general? Or to, you know, I have to tell you, I have a lot of empathy right now for a lot of the young men and women. You know, I'm definitely, if anybody that knows me, I'm definitely about individuality. You know, for me, if you've got a personality, a smile, and some ambition, I can make you into something amazing.
I can make you a star. Yeah.
How come, you know, a star with a beer stout on the end of it? Yeah. No, we really, you know, for me, because I left home with nothing, I really look at the depths of people that aren't on a resume. So when they come in, I understand their energy, I see it. And that's pretty much how I allow myself to pick who's going to be part of this FreshGo team, and what part can they be part of?
Okay, now there's still some tickets available for the summit. You can go online to cglcc.ca.
That's correct.
/summit2017, and you will find that. We'll put links up. Everything will be connected. And to learn more about FreshGo, not the grocery store, you actually got FreshGo.ca, which is
here's the irony in that. Is that back in the day, you know, when Canada was saying, hey, you know what, we're somebody too on this dot, whatever, you know, .ca was cool back then. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that, you know, .com was really the giant.
Yes.
And that's the other thing when you're going through the business realms, that sometimes the advice that you get is not the best advice. And if anybody's listening, just know in Ontario, you can incorporate anything with the same name as long as it does something different. Real kick in the head, but my eyes are open,
and I'm ready to survive.
I am surviving,
and you're surviving. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in. And you can follow Mandy Renahan on Twitter and FreshCo_Inc. on Instagram.
Beautiful.
Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
This is What She Said. Stay with us.
I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight.
Well, you've seen her designs in Italian Vogue, in Style, and even the movie The Devil Wears Prada. I love that movie. Fashion designer Izzy Camilleri has built her career on making people look beautiful on the outside. But today she's here to help us all feel beautiful on the inside with the release of her first book, Izzy's Eating Plan. Welcome to What She Said.
Thank you.
So, first of all, I love the giant salad dress on the cover. Mm. Why did you want to share your personal eating plan with everyone?
Well, a few years ago, it kind of, you know, hit me approaching 50 that it was time for me to start taking better care of myself. And I started just thinking about all the different plans I'd been on, and I started following this new way of eating, and it made me feel great. And for some reason, the book started happening in my head, and I was kind of wanting to share my success with everybody out there, because I'm a woman and I have same problems everybody else has.
Have you always struggled with weight issues? Because you're tiny.
Well, just not huge issues, but just, you know, constant up and down ever since like adolescence. I always, you know, was chubby, or and then, you know, was kind of voluptuous. Just always really curvaceous and just always feeling like I got to get rid of those 20 pounds, you know.
I hate those, the last 10.
Yeah, exactly.
So now what makes this eating plan different? Because you say it's not a diet or a quick fix, but for a way for people to reach their weight goals and maintain them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really boils down to just eating with intention and just being really aware of what you're kind of eating at the same time at your meal and what you're eating, like how they kind of work in your body and how they get digested. And it's really that combination that helps kind of burn the fat and take care of that.
Well, so can you give us some examples then of what would a day food wise look for you?
Well, it's like in the morning I'll have my cereal. I'll have some fruit in there. For lunch, I have something that I call a power salad, and my salad just kind of incorporates a lot of different things that help with cleansing, that help with, you know, gives me my protein. And then for dinner, it could be like chicken, rice, and vegetables. It can be, you know, a plate that big. There's always snacks in there. Like I'll have an apple in the afternoon, nuts in the morning if I need a little boost. So there's a lot in there, but it's eating with intention and just being aware of what's on your plate. So the, in the book, the plan is explained and how what those foods are that you can eat together and what you shouldn't eat together.
Okay.
Because it's really about the carbs.
It's all about the carbs?
It kind of is about the carbs and just not having too many like sugars being being digested at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So, but what I want our listeners to get a sense of is what will they learn from the book if you say it's all about intention?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I've laid out the benefits of certain foods as well. Mm-hmm. So just knowing that, you know, I have an apple for my snack, it's also cleansing. It's filling me up while I'm, you know, in between my meals, but it's also cleansing at the same time. And just knowing that, you know, I just know I'm always doing good things for my body. And I'm always, you know, there's certain foods that are really great for your skin. So this power salad that I've kind of come up with, it's just this great combination. So my skin has improved so much. Inside, I feel really good. My hair has gotten a lot better. Just lots of things. And also I talk about things that are good for your heart, for your bones, for your brain. And yeah, it's all about prevention too, you know, like just as you age, instead of creating more problems by the bad foods that we are consuming and not even being aware of, it's just about prevention and being a healthier senior.
Well, what would be some of the things that we may not be aware of? Give us a couple of examples of things that are bad for us that you would just say, just if you could drop a couple of things from your diet forever, what would they be?
Well, another thing is also like eating more fiber. So things mm-hmm. like having white breads and white rice, just, you know, try to just switch that up to whole grains and brown rice. Things like having, you know, raw vegetables instead of cooked vegetables all the time. You get more nutrients out of raw foods. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, being aware of your protein intake, make sure you have enough energy.
It sounds like a lot of work to maintain, like to sit down. I mean, how far, my daughter meal preps her lunches for the week.
Mm-hmm.
She does that Sunday night mm-hmm. and she knows what they're all done. Is that something that works this way or mm-hmm. is it something that you have to do on a daily basis?
You can do that. And it may sound complicated, but it really is not complicated. Anybody who has purchased the book, I've been getting really great reviews of how simple it actually is. So mm-hmm. I break down the foods and how they kind of can work together. And it's really, really quite simple. And when I was, when this book was kind of happening in my head, that the simplicity part of it was actually what was so like, wow, like this is such a great thing to share because it is easy. And I'm not a nutritionist. I did work with a nutritionist on this just to make sure that it was all mm-hmm. good for you and healthy. But just understanding its simplicity is why I really wanted to share it. Because if I can do it, you can do it too, or anybody, you know, I feel can do it.
And $2 from every book sale is going to the Crohn's and Colitis Canada and in the U.S.
Yes.
Is this a cause close to your heart?
Yeah, I have family members that have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's, and it's really horrible disease to have. And
are there a lot of dietary restrictions? I don't know much about.
Yeah, there is. It depends on the individual mm-hmm. and what their circumstances are, but it's also something that a lot of people don't know. So I'm happy to talk about it and promote it. So that's why I wanted to do this.
That's excellent. Now your fashion career has taken you to a lot of places, a lot of things, but you most recently designed Gord Downie stage outfits on the 2016 Poem Tour. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
It was amazing. It was awesome. He's a great guy and great to work with.
And when somebody like Gord Downie comes to you and says, you know, let's do it, what's the collaborative process?
Well, with Gord, I started working with him the tour before this one.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to me with with an idea that he had, and he was trying to find it retail, but he couldn't. And so he got my name through a friend of a friend, and we just kind of hit it off when we first met, and I was able to do what he was looking for. So we just started working together. It worked out really well, and so it's very collaborative, and you know, just he had ideas of what he wanted, and I was able to execute it and then contribute to his ideas.
To his ideas. How many outfits would be made for a tour like that?
Well, the tour before last year, there was three. Mm-hmm. Or actually four outfits we made. And then for the Man Machine Poem Tour, there was seven of those metallic suits.
Seven of the metallic mm-hmm. suits. Mm-hmm. So how many would he wear in one night?
For that, for the tour last summer, he ended up wearing three every night, which was a first for him because he'd never changed before during a concert. So that particular one, he changed things up a lot in terms of his own, you know, what he was used to. So he just, you know, he just wanted to have some fun with it.
That's so fun. So, and you've also designed clothes for disabled mm-hmm. people. This has been, I mean, you brought fashion to people that didn't think fashion could be brought to them mm-hmm. years ago. How has that whole process developed?
I started doing some custom work for Barbara Turnbull, mm-hmm. Who was a wheelchair user.
Yes.
And I started working with her and started to understand the needs that people have. That I was specific to people that use a wheelchair. So I just didn't realize that they would have problems finding clothes.
Because yeah.
when you see someone, they're dressed, and you don't realize what it took to actually get dressed mm-hmm. or what how limited their options were. So that was the inspiration.
And now you are helping us with your eating plan. Tell everyone what your website is so I can get it online.
It's izzyseatingplan.com. Mm-hmm. And the book is there, and there's other information as well.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
This is What She Said. Stay with us. Oh, yeah, oh. That's Pearl Jam's Last Kiss, and tonight in On the Record, we are joined by musicologist Eric Alper. It's brought to you by Roar Records. And Eric, you're going to tell us about some well-known musicians who had to hold down a job or four to pay the bills before they got big. I did not know Eddie Vedder was a security guard. I did not know that.
Absolutely. You know, right before that he became famous as, of course, the lead singer of Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder was a security guard at LaVencia Hotel before he ended up rocking the stage. And rumor was that he eventually got fired for playing his guitar instead of doing his job. He later became a gas attendant at the local gas station. And through that job, he met a guy by the name of Jack Irons, who ended up playing drums for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Jack told Eddie about this brand new band that was looking for a lead vocalist, sent him a demo tape of instrumentals. Eddie went to the beach, and a couple of days later ended up with the lyrics for what began to be Pearl Jam's Alive, Once, and Footsteps.
So again, it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know.
It's or who
when
you
know it.
or what you don't do at your regular job that pays you in order for you to play your guitar.
What was your prior job? I never had one.
You never had a job? I never really had a job. I was an usher at a theater company and then ended up doing PR for them, and that led to my life in public relations. Really, I've never done anything of significance outside of what I do for a living. I worked at a record store.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I never worked at a restaurant. I would be awful.
Hey, I worked as a I'm brass in pocket, baby.
Oh, really?
Chrissy Hynde for me. And also Debbie Harry. She was a waitress at Max's Kansas City in New York. Let's listen to Blondie.
So the one thing that you have in common is that both you and Debbie Harry, before you started your illustrious singing career, was that when she moved to New York City, she indeed was a waitress at Max's Kansas City bar. She was also a go-go dancer in Union City,
New Jersey discotheque,
which you weren't a go-go dancer.
I was not a go-go dancer.
And you weren't also a Playboy bunny.
I wasn't, but my mom was.
Really?
My mom worked as a Playboy bunny
at the
Playboy Club in London, England.
Wow.
Briefly.
Okay.
And I mean that in length of terms, not what she was wearing.
Well, somebody that definitely wasn't a Playboy bunny was Gautier. Before he became known as Gautier, Willie DeBakker used to work at a library. He would check books in, he would check books out, and shelves books. In fact, he loved this job so much, and what it offered him is that the other co-workers used to call him Shadow in the 780s, which is the Dewey Decimal System speak for slacking off in the music section.
Oh, really? That's fun. Okay, Eddie Money.
Eddie Mahoney dreamed of being a musician, but after high school, he followed into his father's footsteps and became a police officer in 1968. After serving as a New York City police officer for 2 years, he put his law enforcement career on hold to pursue music. Not long after that, in 1977, he released his debut album that sold millions of copies around the world with the songs called Baby Hold On and Two Tickets to Paradise.
So now the next one is interesting. It's Tom Petty, and I bet you can't guess what he did.
We're standing in the shadow, in the good girls, her home with broken hearts.
Before he became one of America's best loved musicians, Tom Petty held an early job as a grave digger. He says, you didn't have to look too sharp. So he loved that job. And in fact, when he was at the University of Florida, there's a tree on campus that's dubbed the Tom Petty tree. According to legend, he planted it back then since he was so good at digging. Tom says he doesn't remember planting anything. And if he did plant something, it definitely wouldn't be a tree.
Oh, gee, I wonder where we
will.
Yeah, I wonder where we go with that one. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting jobs. I mean, I had no idea about Eddie Money being a New York City police officer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weird to find out what people were doing before they became famous, whether it's film or television. But in music, sometimes you end up having a job that allows you the spare time and the quietness to write or record. And sometimes, like in the case of Tom Petty, you can't even think of a line to his life now that says, oh, you picked that up in grave digging, unless he knows where the bodies are buried.
Well, I think kudos to you, because they say if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
And I haven't worked a single day in 25 years. My clients will probably attest to that.
Thanks. Eric Alper is brought to you by Roar Records. Download the new single Rise by Elise Saunders, based on the heroic story of Olympian Jessica Phoenix, on iTunes and Spotify right now. Well, more than 1,000 female teenagers gathered together on Tuesday for the annual Girl Talk Empowerment Day, teaching girls the importance of self-esteem and positive body image. Joining us now is the founder of Girl Talk, Katie Zeppieri. Welcome back to What She Said.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the event. How went? How was Tuesday?
This was our fifth annual event, and this was our first time downtown Metro Toronto Convention Center. It was huge, just to see our big pink heart all over the convention center, girls coming from all across Southern Ontario. We actually had people bus up from Baltimore this year, like stayed
really?
Overnight, all decked out in pink signs, and so much focus on just confidence and self-esteem and really being a leader.
So you had YouTube stars like Rebecca Black, Lily Singh, Superwoman?
We didn't have her there. My goodness, I would love to have her there. But we did have Rebecca Black.
And
she's friends, okay? She's friends
and
idolizes Lily Singh. Lily Singh, I think, is a good representation of what this whole girl movement is about, and using your platform to really help and inspire.
So tell us about then, why did you start Girl Talk? What was the need that you saw?
I think I've done a lot of work in schools and started in high school kind of going back and talking about things like bullying and just being a good person, being a leader. That was something really close to my heart, just watching and witnessing so many people being made to feel like they're less than for being different or feeling like they couldn't amount to anything because other people would put labels on them. And that really bothered me. And as I'd sort of get out there and talk, it was often girls who would come and share these different stories and experiences with me. Things like, you know, eating disorders or things like their appearance and so many things about the way that they look and not feeling confident with themselves that were taking up so much of their time that they couldn't even really focus on important things like what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of difference do I want to make in the world? What do I want my legacy to be? Mm-hmm. And I think if you have those sorts of barriers in front of you, what you really need are some positive role models that come around you and give you that inspiration to help you rise above.
Okay, so you there have been, I guess, some grassroots movement centered around what they're calling girl love, demolishing the past societal norms of cattiness and competition among women. Here at What She Said, we have found being collaborative with women and empowering women and telling the stories of other women is wonderful.
Yes.
And there is no real cattiness or competitiveness. In the 5 years that you've been doing this, have you seen that aspect increase or decrease?
It's interesting. I think just in terms of our society in general, I think women are encouraged to be really competitive with one another mm-hmm. To the point where they put each other down. And even our, you know, you open a magazine and it's all about who wore this better, right? Who looked bad in this? Mm-hmm. Who looked heavy in this? And it creates this kind of ongoing mindset where I think to a certain extent, girls and women can almost feel like in order to feel good about themselves, it involves putting somebody else down. And that's really where we try and come in and just say like, hey, you know what, at the end of the day, if you're spreading hate and surrounding yourself with a lot of negativity, that's not going to lead to a happy life. What actually does is if you choose to lift somebody else up, because we're all going through a journey. Everybody's got their struggle. Everybody has their bad days. Everybody has their insecurities. So if you actually come into the situation with looking for ways to lift other people up, that's just going to lead to more kindness all around.
So how do you give young, you concentrate on what age range is
11 it? 11 to 18.
11 to 18. So 13 to 15 is a particularly nasty, awkward stage, I think, for girls. So you want to get that message through to them younger.
Yes.
And what is it exactly that you say to them? How do you show them that this works?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of storytelling. And I think that's what's so great about your radio station, right? It's all about sharing stories and what people are doing. And Rebecca Black was one of our big performers that we flew in from Los Angeles for this event. And I think she was just such a great example of a great story. Here's somebody who, at the age of 13, her video went viral, you know. It made her famous, but she also has 2 million dislikes on that video, 600,000 likes. So there was a lot of hate and bullying and stuff that came her way. So what we try and do is we try and pick people who have a platform and the girls know and are excited about, but they also have a story and they have a message. And that's what's really powerful. It's not just about, look at me, I'm glamorous, and look at my life on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, there's a person behind this. Let me share my experiences, because I think oftentimes we find that there's a lot of similarities between our own experiences.
Okay, so between the events, what can people, how do people connect with you and what can they learn from your organization?
GirlTalkEmpowerment.com is our happening website, and we've got programs going throughout the year. We have school chapters. It's free to start one. Over 24 across the GTA. We opened one in Uganda this year. So we do a lot of work all around. Summer retreats. We go out and we have a speakers bureau. So if you're ever looking for an amazing speaker for your event, we got you covered.
That's amazing. So then, And on the website, you can also connect with other groups and movements that you are connected with?
Yeah, you can find out a whole bunch of stuff about us and who we've partnered with in the past. And we're certainly happy to make those connections once we meet with you.
And on Twitter, you are Girl Talk Empower.
That's right.
And on Instagram, it's Girl Talk Empowerment.
Yeah, we couldn't fit those extra three letters on Twitter. They're just pretty rude that way.
I'm so glad that it is growing, and it seems to be your movement is growing exponentially.
Thank you. Yeah, honestly, the response has been amazing to see, and we hope to continue to grow. I see future plans of maybe someday being at the Air Canada Centre. So here's to that.
Yay. We will toast you there.
Thank you.
This is What She Said. Stay with us. Said I'd like to know when you got the notion to rock the boat. I don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. I don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Well, as boating season begins, there are some important things we all could use a reminder about so that we don't rock that boat before heading out on the water. Joining us now is Lindsay Charles, personal injury associate lawyer at McLeish Orlando, to give us a boating safety and insurance refresher. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's start out with the obvious. You need a pleasure craft operator card to drive a boat, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Any boat?
Any boat.
Any boat, really?
Well, any boat that has a motor on it, yes.
Okay. So how do you get one?
So there's the Ministry of Transportation. You can do your tests through them. And I don't know if you go to the cottage shows, they often have those Ontario boat safety booths set up. And a lot of the time, they actually just let you go and do them at these booths. And I think what's interesting is a lot of the times we associate a license with someone that's 16 or over, like our driver's mm-hmm. license, but kids can actually get their boater's license too. And there's some important considerations for children driving boats that are different from adults as well.
Like what?
So for a child that is 12 years of age to 16 years of age, they can only drive a boat that's less than 40 horsepower. And I think one that's really important as the teenagers are up at the cottage is if you're under 16 years of age, they cannot be driving what's called a personal watercraft. So that's kind of like your jet skis and whatnot. So,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because they're kind of getting to that age where they're pretty much adults. But, you know, if 16 and under, they're not supposed to be operating those personal watercrafts alone.
Okay, now if you don't have the PCOC, Pleasure Craft Operator's Card, you not only risk a $250 fine, but your insurance policy could be voided?
Yes. So if I'm driving a boat and I don't have a boater's license and the owner of the boat's let me drive in his boat, there's a risk that the policy could be voided. So you want to make sure anyone driving the boat's got their license. It's not an overly onerous task. So if you're planning on doing that this summer, take the plunge and do the test.
Okay. Now, whether your boat is docked at a marina in your boathouse, insurance can protect your liability.
Correct.
Risk. Okay, so let's give us some examples that what you would want to protect.
Sure. So I think one of the big things that you'd want to consider is making sure you do have liability coverage. And so what that means is if there's an unfortunate circumstance where you may be held liable for an action that you've done driving your boat, you're covered if someone gets hurt. So it's a good thing if you call your broker and you just ask and make sure that you do have that specific kind of coverage on your boat. Because accidents do happen and you want to make sure the person who's being injured can be covered effectively.
So, and it also covers if your boat hits another boat?
Right.
Okay. So there's protection and indemnity and as well as hull and machinery. That's just for your own loss of equipment as opposed to protection and liability.
Right.
What about medical payments?
So that's another kind of option that you can have. It's something you can talk to your broker about. So you're right, hull and machinery, that's one form of coverage. Then protection and indemnity, that's the other form of coverage we just spoke about. And the medical payments is another option too. Sometimes they're all lumped together. You might already have all three. You might have one of three. But it's definitely something when you're getting the boat out this summer, you might want to just call up your broker and make sure to see what you have and see what your broker recommends you get.
I thought a lot of this was tied to my homeowner's policy.
That's true. So a lot of the boat insurance are tied together. They're grouped into your homeowner's policies. But there is this separate policy some insurers have. It's called marine policies. They specialize in them. They're separate and apart from your homeowner's policies. You see that a lot of the times if you have a large yacht or one of these big cruising boats. So if you are, you know, have one of these larger boats, it might be a good idea to look into a marine-specific policy that's not tied to your homeowner's. But again, your broker should be able to explain when a policy like that may be more appropriate to your needs.
Okay, and I understand that there you also have to check for when your boat's out of the water, because I mean, we don't winterize our boat, we take it out of the water. So for at least, you know, 6 months of the year, it's on dry land. Am I covered then?
Yeah, so that's important. Why you're going to explain to your broker where's your boat stored, that might affect your premiums. But there's something else that they call a layup policy, or it's part of your insurance policy. So sometimes you want to make sure, hey, when is my boat allowed to be in the water? Because if you're outside a specified date that your insurance company has set up, you may not be covered. So usually it's a pretty long time. For Canadians, it's probably not going to be an issue. A lot of them are kind of April 1 to December 1, but who knows, maybe it's a really warm March and your boat's in the water. But long story short, each policy is different. So it's a good question to be just asking your broker, hey, when can I put my boat in the water? I just want to make sure that I'd be covered.
Now, my husband went down with a friend boating down to Niagara on the lake, and he felt that they almost got caught in fast moving water. And he's like, I really want to get out of here. What about navigational limits? Like, how far afield or a sea can you take your boat?
Right. And that's a good question. Again, another thing that depends specifically based on the policy you have. So a good question to ask your insurance broker too. Most of the time it's anywhere in the US or Canada, but the further south you go, sometimes you see some restrictions in that regard. Probably for the most part for the Canadian lakes, you should be fine, but you might just want to tell your broker where you're boating and see if there's any issues.
What about experience of the owner/operator? I mean, if you have more qualifications than just your card, does that affect your insurance rates? Like if you were a member of Sail Canada or, Canadian Power and Sail Squadrons,
sure.
Things like that?
Yeah, like your insurance broker, when they're quoting you for the policy, they're going to ask you a whole series of questions that will help them determine how much coverage you need, why you need that coverage, as well as how much your coverage will be. So they want to know how big your boat is, how long it is, how long you've had your boat, how long you've had your operating card, your experience. And then there's certain associations that they ask about too. And I presume that it may affect your premiums, but these are all questions that you should be ready to answer when you do call your broker, because it might affect your premiums, maybe be lower.
Now you're a personal injury lawyer. So I want to know, if I'm going to be a guest on somebody's boat, is there anything I should be taking upon myself to ask or do to make sure I'm covered when I'm on their vehicle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to know that the operator of the boat hasn't been drinking that day. I think that's a huge issue for anyone that's out in the boats this summer. We all like to have fun, but it's no different than when you get into a car. You want to make sure your driver's sober and prepared to drive you safely. I would want to make sure that there's enough life jackets on the boat in case an unfortunate circumstance arose and something happens to the boat. You want to make sure you're safe. So some simple questions: have you been drinking? Hopefully not. Do you have your operator's card? And, is the boat equipped with the recent safety equipment required?
It's sort of awkward conversation to have. Like when somebody gets on our boat, we always point out where life jackets are here. You can leave your towels and bathing suits or whatever down here. That's also where the life jackets are, so that you know where they are. But a lot of people don't. And I guess it might feel a little awkward to be asking that kind of stuff, but you should.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I'm not saying it's a requirement of a guest to be doing that, but maybe as someone who owns a boat, it might be an awkward conversation. A guest might be a little more nervous out on water than others. And maybe as owners, we should also take it upon ourselves to make sure our guests feel comforted when we do take them out on a boat ride.
And obvious basic tips, like check the weather forecast before you go, would be good. Fill up your gas tank and make sure you've got tools and spare parts. And what about first aid kits and things like that?
That would be important too. I think they also sell, you can see them at all the places up north in the summer. They have these the safety equipment canisters almost, and they float in the water should the boat capsize or whatnot. We always buy one of those. I think those are a good thing. First aid kits are great. Life jackets are the biggie. And make sure you have appropriate size life jackets. So if you have an adult, don't have a kid's jacket for the adult or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you are a boater yourself. You enjoy going out on the water?
I love going out on the water. Not so sure if I love driving the boat, but yeah, no, it's a great time up north in the summer for sure.
All right. Well, Lindsay Charles, thank you very much for joining us this evening and bringing us up to speed for our water activities.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people reach you if they need to get hold of you?
Sure. You can see me on my website. It's at McLeish Orlando, and my name's Lindsay Charles. I'm right there.
This is What She Said. Stay with us.
Thanks.
You know that I would never want to run away.
Run away.
And even though I know it's hard to understand, stuck in a moment till you let.
What you are listening to is Boomerang by Toronto singer-songwriter Adam Michon. Welcome to What She Said.
Thank you very much.
Well,
glad to be here.
You've been studying voice for, 12 years? And we just heard your debut single. How did you get started in music?
It started with a high school band. I started singing there, and they recommended that I get singing lessons. So I started with
in
some
a polite way.
Huh? Yes, in a polite way, they recommended a vocal coach, and so I started singing lessons, and now I actually coach myself. I'm a vocal coach as well.
That's awesome. Now, okay, we used to hear, you know, high school band. We used to think the garage. Now we think YouTube, and you have a YouTube channel. Tell us what the name of it is.
It's just my name, Adam Michon.
Michon.
So if you go youtube.com/AdamMichon, M-I-S-H-A-N, you'll find it there.
And 250,000 views of Boomerang and counting?
On the Facebook page, yeah.
On the Facebook page?
Yeah, it's on our Facebook account. It's 250,000 views.
And on YouTube, now that Facebook and YouTube have disconnected, it's a real pain.
Yes, I know. So on YouTube, it's got 11,000, last I checked.
Okay, so you're like us. We seem to get more views on Facebook, which drives people to our YouTube channel. I just can't follow up what they're doing. What
exactly.
I find interesting about you is you're also a registered psychotherapist. So how much does that career play into these songs that you write?
So it definitely does. I have more of an emotional side to myself, and it's a really great, writing music is an amazing way to blow off steam after a long day and that type of thing. A lot of people ask me, like, what do you do for fun? You know, you've got a family, you've got your job, your day job, like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I don't watch much TV, I don't watch many movies, I basically sing and I do music. That's my main thing for fun.
Well, you placed in the GTA top 10 of the Searchlight competition this year. Are you hoping to make music more of your full-time profession?
If the opportunity came around, definitely. This is definitely a big help. Being on the show is amazing. And if more stuff like this started happening, I would love to pursue it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for stopping by. We are looking forward to hearing you have Zach Starr with you on guitar. And we want to remind all of our listeners to follow us on social media at What She Said Talk. Search What She Said on Apple Podcasts, where you can hear full shows for free. And we will be back next Saturday at 10 p.m. But right now, performing Boomerang in our live studio sessions, here is Adam Michon.
Trust in me if you let me go. Don't hold too tight, just give me a chance to show. You'll see I'm right, our love will only grow. I have too many thoughts to share, hard to breathe, please let me up for air. I wanna sing them to the world without a care. I'll be your boomerang, your boomerang. I'll come right back to you. I'll be your boomerang, your boomerang. I'll fly right back to you. I'll be your I'll be your Can't give me up, and that's okay, cause I'm only gonna leave you for a couple days. You know that I would never want to run away. And even though I know it's hard to understand, stuck in a moment till you let me be that man. I'm standing up because you know deep down I can, living up to what I say. I'll be your boomerang, your boomerang, I'll come right back to you. I'll be your boomerang, I'll fly right back to you. I'll be your sing it. Oh. coming back down. I'm committing with a flick of your wrist. I'll be swinging around. I'm coming back down. I'm committing with a flick of your wrist. I'll be swinging around. I'm coming back down. I'm committing with a flick of your wrist. I'll be swinging around. I'm coming back down. I'm coming with a flick of your wrist. I'm gonna be your boomerang. Your boomerang. Boomerang, your boomerang. I'm coming back down. I'm coming in with a flick of your wrist. I'll be swinging around. I'm coming back down. I'm coming in with a flick of your wrist. I'm gonna be your only one. I'll be coming right back to you. And I'll be your only one, only one, only one, only one, only one. I'll be coming right back.